said, if I got a green light, I'm good to go. So I think we're good to go. It's so good to be here today and be with friends, and thank Pastor Danny for letting me come again. I guess last year I didn't do so bad that he didn't let me come one more time anyway. But we're so thankful for opportunities to come and worship God and to be together. It's good to see Keith and Linda here. They were a vital part, and their son Kevin and Christy back there. And Liz used to take care of this office over here, and I took care of this office over here. And she did more work than I did, but that's okay. Dave Montalone and your mom are watching in Oregon, so we want to say hi especially to them. That's Betty Joe's brother, and he was a vital part of our youth ministry. I was sitting there thinking about some things, and we did I don't know if you guys remember Carmen's song, The Champion. Well, David played the devil, but he wasn't the devil, okay? But we just have so many good memories and so thankful to be here today that we can come and worship God. I better look at my watch, which means nothing, but it helps me know that I've went too long when we are finished. So, we want to take some time today. As I was reflecting and praying about today, I was reminded of a scripture that was very important to the youth ministry when I was here, TNT, Liz, you'll remember this. I got this desire to disciple our young people in a deeper way. I wanted to put them through some torture and to try to teach them to be followers of Christ. And so I think the first thing we developed was a thing called basic training, and it was really basic, but it was taking them through some stuff. But then I started reading some other materials, and I came across a few people that I could steal their ideas, and we'd created what we call demolition training. Demolition training is taken from, and you can turn there, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning, and also in Ephesians chapter 6. So if you want to mark those two spots in your word, we're going to be going back and forth. If you're on your phone, you'll just have to figure out how to do that, and I'm sure you'll do fine. But I was looking at that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and Paul wrote this to the church in Corinth. And if you've read Corinthians, you know these people were messed up. They were a lot like the church in America. They were really messed up. And Paul's correcting a lot of issues. And here in chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, he is going to start from there to the rest of that letter. Basically, he's addressing his critics. I don't know about you, but I think somebody that criticizes the Apostle Paul probably was a little bit off base, you know? The guy wrote the majority of the New Testament, but most of what he is starting here is he's addressing his critics and people who were in the Corinthian church that was trying to discredit Paul. In fact, there was like five things they were accusing Paul. If you read through that, you'll see that there was at least five of the different things that they were saying about him. And, they were saying he was a coward. They were saying that he was worldly. They were saying that he didn't have really the authority to be a true apostle. I mean, there was a lot of things. They were just going after Paul and trying to discredit him. So Paul is now starting here in 1 Corinthians 10. He's saying, okay, let me just address these guys and this whole thing. But if you read it, and let's just read it for a moment. It says, "Now I, Paul, appeal to you with the gentleness and kindness of Christ. Though I realize you think I am timid in person and bold only when I write from far away, well, I am begging you now so that when I come, I won't have to be bold with those who think we act from a human motives." Then he says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Paul here in this letter, he is saying to them that the church in Corinth, they really needed it to hear what he's saying, that we're in a war. And as we go through life, how many times have you ever felt like you've been in through a war? You've been through some battles. You've been through some issues. You've been through some challenges. been through those things. You may even be there today. As I was praying about this, I was like, some people may be there now. You may be fighting something that you just feel like you can't win. And I think it's important for us to recognize that Paul, when he addresses this, when we got demolition training, so you know, some of the things that we did was they had to read the entire book. These are teenagers. And I think Hamilton actually did this. I miss you, Hamilton. I don't know if he's watching, but I know somebody told me he moved away recently. Hamilton found out about it, and he said, Pastor Rick, I got to do that. So it was first designed just for teens, and then some of the adults said, we want to do that. Because in that, they read the entire New Testament and wrote a 2-page book report on every book of the New Testament. It was a 13-week deal. They had to sit in the front 3 rows. My granddaughters are in the front 3. My grandson and his wife are a little further back, so we'll let you go on that one. But they had to sit in the front 3 rows and take notes on every sermon, and they couldn't miss either. We read 2 books, Spiritual Authority by Watchman Nee, and then In the Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozier. These are not, I don't know if you've never read those, I would highly recommend it. They're not light reading. These are some pretty tough books. And they had to do a book report on those. So, and then they had to fast once a month. Have you ever tried to get teenagers to fast? I mean, they like to eat constant. So they had to fast. They had to do these things. There was other stuff that we added into that program. But Paul says we're in a war, and if we're not equipped for the war, it could get very damaging. And Paul says here that we are in a war. It's a warfare that's there, that we have an enemy that's real. And so this morning, as we look at this, the key things I want us to make sure we understand is this. We have a war. We have an enemy. But it's not the person sitting beside you. Okay? It's not flesh and blood. It may feel that way sometimes. I'm thinking Paul was like, these guys are coming against me. They're saying I'm a coward. They're saying I'm this. They're saying that. But he knew that wasn't the real enemy. We have a real enemy. But we also have a God who has equipped us and given us every resource that we need to win the war. And let me just say this. I have found that it's not in my own strength or in my own self that I have that victory. I only find that through the power of the gospel and through the word of God and through these tools or these things that he resources us with to win this war. So if you're in a war or if you feel like you're going through a battle, I just want to say and encourage us all, we will win. We just have to use the right weapons. You know, when we were in Venezuela, we were on a missions trip. And we did like 4 years of Venezuela. I think actually Liz ended up staying there one whole summer because they tried to get Debbie and I to come and stay a whole summer. And I said, I can't be gone all summer. But I'll send Liz. She can. And when we were there, it was interesting to see the police out there. They was carrying these big rifles. They had all kinds of weapons. But one of the weapons they had was this big sword. And I thought, is that decorative? That's a big sword. They had it hanging off the side. One day I found out, this is not decorative. They were down there, and there was this lady giving these officers a hard time. One of them pulled out that sword, and he whapped her on the back of the leg. She stopped giving them a hard time. You know what? It's important to know the right weapons. We have weapons that have been given to us. And as we did that, I've been, you know, some of you guys from TNT, you'll remember, there was always an illustration. And so I brought one weapon. I was talking to a good friend of mine. He was a police officer for years. And I was talking to him about, you know, we were talking about different things he used. And he says, you know, the most effective weapon I have, or the most effective thing I have in my tool pouch is this. Anybody know what this is? John does. I hope you never were hit with one. It pops out like that. And when it comes out like that, and you hit it, it's that sword. And he said, I use this more than any other thing I had in my resource. The reason is, he says, when people saw it come out who had been hit with one, they stopped right now and just said, yes, sir. He says, and if I had to whack them once, they said, yes, sir. And he said, I didn't have to do any paperwork when I pulled this out. He said, everything else had paperwork with it. Listen, God has equipped us with much better, more efficient weapons for the battle and the war that we're in than anything. But the other side is we got to understand from Ephesians chapter 6, the enemy of our soul, go to Ephesians chapter 6, and the enemy of our soul is much more than what we, I think sometimes people do not give him or we don't recognize what he is about. It says, Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Notice he says whose strength to be mighty in? Not yours, not mine, his strength. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it as I ought to speak. There's all kinds of sermons right there. We are not going to preach all of this, obviously. But there's a couple of things I just wanted to take us a look. Number one, the devil has schemes. You see that word schemes? I think it was actually in one of the songs that we sang this morning about schemes of darkness, that we want to be in his presence. The schemes of the enemy. That word schemes might be a little bit weak in that actually the enemy has strategies. That's probably the better word, is strategies. The devil has strategically looked at our lives and at the humanity, and he has strategies in place. And unfortunately, he's playing the long game. It's not like he has to get you today. He just has got strategies in place to take us down. That's his weapons, the weapons of the world. We're living in a culture that is broken. And some of the weapons that the enemy may want to use against us are weapons that we see at work in our world. One of the things in Corinth was division. Some of them said, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm this. There was division. We need to be very aware that when the devil or the schemes of the enemy or the strategy is to cause division in the body of Christ, we need to stop and say, I recognize you and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I rebuke myself when I'm a part of it. Division is one of his tools. Unbelief, lies, deception. Those are all things, and fear, unforgiveness, offenses. I'm offended that you're offended, and therefore I'm going to be more offended. You know, an offense, an offended spirit, and Debbie and I have worked in helping people and look at our own lives so many times. But here's the thing: you can get offended for yourself, but how many of you know you're going to get more offended if they mess with somebody that you love? You start messing with my kids. You start messing with Debbie, and Debbie's back there. I'm glad she came with me. We weren't sure she's going to get to come, and she did, so we're excited about that. But you mess with someone in the body of Christ, we can get offended for them. And the enemy will use that offense to establish what we see here that Paul says in Corinthians, a stronghold. Strongholds are what the devil takes and puts in our minds and our hearts and our spirits that then is used to keep us in that lockdown state where we can't accomplish what God wants us to do. And that strongholds are things, you know, I think God in the Old Testament, a lot of times the writers in Psalms says, the Lord is my stronghold. And that's what we should have as our stronghold. But so many times as we walk out this journey, we allow strongholds to take over and make resident in our lives. And that stronghold, the enemy is just waiting. And sometimes he uses it at the right moment to where we look at someone and instead of loving them, we find ourselves not liking them. And we may even go further and not just not like them, but we might look at them and say, they are so evil, I can't stand that person. That's the enemy. When the enemy gets us to looking at people through his eyes and through our own eyes, we will misunderstand them. And the enemy will use those strongholds against us. Deception, fears, accusations, pride. There's all kinds of those things that the enemy, and you can start reading through scriptures, you'll find that he has different things that he tries to make us a way in. Anger. Are we living in a culture that's angry? Yeah. It's like, I catch myself. I'm like, I'm getting angry. And we have to learn to not let anger be a stronghold. In fact, in Ephesians 4, we're going to see some. In Ephesians 4, he tells you, watch out for anger. It can be a strong, it give a foothold to the enemy. So whatever it is, the enemy is going there, and he will use these different things. And with the enemy, when he gets these things, go to Ephesians 4. Paul encourages the church in Ephesus to put on the new nature. Now, that's part of our new nature is a part of that weapons that we have been given by the Holy Spirit to change us. In Ephesians 4:20, it says, but that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception, the enemy's tools, right? Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes and put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. That's part of the weapons. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting your anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Do you hear what he's saying here? We have to be careful that we don't give the foothold to anything. It says, if you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. We see here that the enemy wants to try to establish these different strongholds, but God says you can be changed. I don't know about you, I'm so glad that God says I can be changed, because that's what's important. And here's some things that, and then we're going to move into the things that God has given us. But there's a couple of lies that I just think we need to be, listen, one of the lies of our culture today is it's just how I am. It's just my personality. I'm an angry person, and it's just who I am. And that's really saying, I'm going to stay angry. God says, no, I want to change that. And you could apply that to anything in our lives that gets a stronghold. One of the things I believe that we need to recognize is, what is a stronghold? The other thing is that one of the lies I believe the enemy has perpetrated is, I don't know if you've heard this, I've heard it, you know, and I think it goes back to what we've, in our day, they've kind of made it church hurt. You ever heard that term, church hurt? You've been hurt in church? Listen, if you've been a part of a church, you've been hurt. You know why? It's like we also always say, the church, we are not perfect. We do have a perfect Lord, but we don't have a perfect group of people together. So there will be some hurt. But you know what? God says, forgive and allow God to heal those hurts. Let God restore those things that are there. But as a part of that, people who've been there, what they say is, I love Jesus, but I'm not going to church. I want to tell you, those two things do not go together. You and I need one another. We cannot win this war by ourselves. I did research on this years ago, and I'm trying to look fine. But One of the things the Roman soldiers would do a lot of times is, and I've seen it in movies, where they fight back to back. I've got this side, you got my back, and we're just going to go for it. We cannot win this war by ourselves. We need one another. We need a body of believers that we're tied into that can work with us and pray with us and make us and help us survive and win in this battle. So as we look at that, Paul says, don't give a foothold. But he also tells the Corinthians in verse 4 of chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10:4, he says this. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Aren't you glad that God can destroy every stronghold that tries to take up residence in our lives? I'm going to have to research it a little more, but one of the things I saw in this, and I didn't get the chance to totally get into that part of it because it's not really, you know, there's some things that are relevant and some things you just look at. That's interesting. And you may want to look into this, but some said that Paul was referring to a Roman piece of equipment called the crow. C-R-O-W, crow. And it was a weapon they used to go in, and Paul actually was from an area where they'd used that to go in and just crush strongholds. And it was powerful. But, you know, in our day, we need the Word of God to crush the demolishing things that are there that need to be taken down. We need to recognize that we have been given divine weapons. What does that mean? That means we've been given weapons that when the Holy Spirit quickens us with these things, they are divine weapons. They have the power to do what we can't do in ourselves. And as we see that, one of the things that out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, there's all of those that are important. Every weapon there, every part of that armor of God is crucial. But I just wanted to point out two or three today because, like I said, I don't want to keep you here. Pastor Danny said I had about an hour to preach, and I've already used most of it. So, no, he didn't say that. When we go visiting places, we like to blame the pastor that he let us go long, but that's not what he said. But there are three things here I just wanted us to really look at real quick. You can research these things. When I speak, I hope that the Holy Spirit will quicken you to go and say, man, I need to see this better myself. Don't ever just take us up here preaching to you or teaching. Go look into it. Find out if there's really a crow machine. I have to. Go find out what is it that Paul was saying here in these things. Dig into it deeper. So out of the things in Ephesians chapter 6 where Paul gives us this whole list of the armor of God, the one I wanted to look at, I want to just say to you and I is this, the belt of truth. We live in a culture that is deceived. There's lies. And listen, I'm not into the AI thing. I know some people really, you know, especially some of our younger people and some of that, they get into the AI and they're researching things with AI. I think we're at a point in our world where knowing what's real is what's sitting right in front of me. Because everything else may not be real. But what is truth? How did you and I discover the truth? Because the truth, Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That belt of truth is crucial for you and I, and we need, there's something that I believe the church, we need as a body of believers in our own lives to ourselves and to other people around us, we need to be able to speak truth to ourselves and to those we love. And we need to be able to speak that truth with love, with compassion, and with boldness. Because we're living in a culture that wants to shut us up. Really, they want to make us, you know, they want to make, I was talking with Christy yesterday, and she works with a pregnancy, trying to save babies in New Jersey. And, you know, of course, we've had a few wins with legally with some of the Roe versus Wade thing. But listen, they're still killing little infants in the womb every day. And they want to make it like that's just a tissue. That's a lie. It's not a tissue. It's a baby. It's an infant growing in that womb. And listen, ladies, I have to be always try to be careful when I say something like this, because if you're here and you've been through the trauma of an abortion, God's forgiveness is more than sufficient. His restoration is more than sufficient. If you're a man and you push someone to do that, your grace is God's grace and forgiveness is there. But the reality is the world is being lied to and they're believing the deceptions. And we as believers need to have the boldness and the love and the compassion to speak the truth. Even if it's not popular, even if people are pushing back on that truth. And the only way to discover that truth is through the Word of God. So the truth, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, that does bring us to that, because that's what's true. And one of the things when we did demolition training, one of the things we wanted to be sure is that they read the Bible, that they dug into the Word of God, and that they would look at the Word, and that they would allow the Word of God to be what changes them, not just Pastor Rick or the church, but what does the Bible say, and how does it impact my life? How does this Bible affect the way I conduct my life? Do I listen to this Word and give generously? Do I listen to this Word and forgive people when they do something against me? Do I listen to this Word and know that it's by grace that I am saved and not by my own works or by my own creativity? Do I listen to the Word and say, this Bible tells me so many things about life? In fact, one time I was down in Florida with my, and we were outside of my daughter's house, and her neighbor came out. And, yeah, I better hurry. I get telling stories, it's not good. Long story short, we had a conversation, and he was partially, he's drinking, he's almost there, he's not quite drunk, but he's getting close. And he asked me why I would trust the Bible so much. And I don't know why, God just, because I grew up with an alcoholic father, and I saw where he was at with that. I said, well, I'll tell you what that Bible tells me. It tells me that alcohol is a snake and a viper, and it will bite me. So I never drink alcohol. And he went, well, that kind of makes sense. The truth. Dig in. The Word of God will give us the direction that we need for our lives. It will always and never ever will it fail us. The last thing is prayer. Paul says, pray always in the Spirit. We are lacking in prayer. I'm lacking in prayer individually. We're lacking in prayer in the body of Christ. We're lacking in intercession and praying to take down strongholds that are blinding people to the truth. This church is a church of prayer. I know when we were here one, and this was when, and some of you might remember, but Pastor Sheridan was in the district office, and we got a call. And Sister Sheridan was about to die. Literally, they told her, they said, we don't know. And Clay Sheridan was associate pastor. And we didn't know. They said, she's going to die tonight. We started getting on the phone, and this place filled up because they had pastored this church. This place started filling up with people, and we started praying and praying and praying, and people all over the district were praying. Guess what? Next day, she did not die. And she lived a lot longer after that. Why? I believe, yeah, maybe the medicine, the doctors help some, but the real key is prayer can change things. Prayer can change our lives. And so Paul says, pray that I'll have the words to speak boldly. Pray that, well, even if I'm in prison or where I'm at, I will have the ability to speak. Pray for me. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for others and ask God, tear down the strongholds in people's lives. Tear down the strongholds in my life. And so as we go through this life, there will be more battles. There will be fights. There will be wars that we have to go through. There's other things I had here, but I'm just going to say this today. Let us fight a good fight. Paul said, I have fought a good fight, and I'm ready to die. You know, I think in this culture today, you and I, of all people, if we're really followers of Christ, we do not have to fear death. You know, in fact, I told them, if I die and they take them paddles and hit me and bring me back, I might want to hit the guy that did it. Because if I get there and you bring me back down here, I'm probably not going to be happy about it. We don't need to fear anything. But we do, because we're human. But as we walk out this life, let us not fear. Let us not have a stronghold. So how do we do that? We put on the full armor of God. Dig into Ephesians 6. Dig into demolishing strongholds. Dig into your own heart and say, God, what stronghold have I allowed the enemy to have a foothold in my life? And if there is, then God, help tear it down. Destroy it. Demolish it. So that I can live in freedom. So that I can live the new creation that you've created me to be. Because there's lots of strongholds. And there's a lot of people around us that need to see it's possible to be set free. And so put on the full armor of God. Put on the truth. Put on the helmet of salvation. And I'm going to close with that. The helmet of salvation is probably the starting point. Do you remember when you came to Christ? Do you remember the moment that you said, Jesus, come and forgive me of my sin and bring me to that place of right relationship with God? The word tells us over and over, but in Acts chapter 4, Peter talking to the Sanhedrin, he says, there's only one name given under heaven to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. That salvation comes through Christ. And if you're here today or you're watching online and you've never given your heart to Jesus, we say it that way, but we also say if you've never prayed that prayer of repentance, today's the best day to ever start doing that. Today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on that which will then guard your mind and guard our hearts and guard our minds to where we will follow after God. So as we close this morning, let's just stop and say and allow the Holy Spirit to continue that work in our hearts. Father, we thank you for this word this morning that Paul gave to the Corinthians and the Ephesians, and that is applicable to us today. Father, we recognize that in the world we live in, the enemy has strategies to destroy, because you said he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but you came to bring life. And part of that life that you came to bring was forgiveness and salvation through the blood that you shed on the cross. And Lord, if there's any here that have never repented and never really made that personal encounter with you, I pray that they would do that right now. I pray they would just say a simple prayer out loud or in their hearts to you and say, Lord Jesus, I've sinned. I've come short. Forgive me of my sin. If they're watching online and they're hearing that and they want to recommit or they want to commit for the first time, let them just say, Jesus, I really have sinned and I need your forgiveness. And I thank you that you made it possible and receive the grace and the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ. And put on that salvation, that helmet of salvation that says we are purchased and we are now a part of the body of Christ. And Lord, for the rest of us, we just ask today, God, that as we go through this warfare, as we go through these battles, as we go through this the testings and the things that come our way, Holy Spirit, give us the truth. Give us the power of your divine authority to demolish the things that stand against the knowledge of you. Because, God, we want to know you better. And the enemy's strategies are trying to separate us from knowing and understanding who you are. So, Lord, take down every barrier. Take down every resistance in our hearts to where we can be set free to proclaim the truth, to live out righteousness in the world that we're in, and that we will make an impact. And I pray for this church right here, Bethel, in the north side of Pittsburgh. I pray, God, that you will give them the power of your Holy Spirit to reach the world around them. I pray that you will encourage them and those that are here that may be going through those wars and those battles. I pray, God, that you will just be with them and heal the hurts and the wounds. Restore them, God, and make them whole, and let them have an impact, and that they will see a great move of the Holy Spirit just come across their lives and in this place, and encourage them in every way, and provide every tool they need. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If you want to stand and you want to need prayer, or if you'd like to spend some time in prayer. You know, I think one of the things that I missed kind of from when I was first saved, I came to Christ at 16. And so everybody at that church, just, you know, at the end, the pastor gave the invitation for salvation. And I've been reevaluated. Yeah, you can stand if you like. You've been sitting for a while. Unless you're asleep, you can stay there. The church that I came to Christ in was an Assembly of God church in Fairfax, Virginia. And at the end of every service, in that day and age, and it comes back to what I said about prayer. Every service, and this is how I came to Christ, was they would give an invitation, but you had to come forward. And I think we've kind of softened coming to Christ in our culture. We say, bow your heads, close your eyes. We make this private, so it's just, I've come to a place where I'm like, I don't think Jesus did that on the seashore. I don't think he said, Peter, everybody close your eyes because I'm going to have Peter come up here and, you know. Because if we can't confess him out in the open like here, how are we going to do it somewhere else? But what I did, but I say that, but then when I came to Christ, what I watched when I went to this church for like 3 weeks, the first week, I was very uncomfortable in the back, and I realized it was the Holy Spirit messing with me. Now I know it was the Holy Spirit. But then I didn't know what was wrong with me. I just thought, man, you're messed up. And I watched the process. I'd never been to church. I didn't grow up in church, didn't go to church. So I watched the process, and at first they would say, sinners, you come up here and get saved. So the sinners would go up and get saved. There were people go up there as sinners in front of everybody and kneel down, and they'd have people pray with them. Then he'd have the Christians come. He says, okay, those of you that are Christians, you want to come, you can come up front and pray. And half the church would go up front. I mean, the whole altar would be full. Two or three pews would be full. And people would just go and pray. I mean, sometimes they'd stay up there a half hour praying. So the second week, I thought about it. Third week, I said, you know what? I am not going with the sinners. Ain't happening. Nobody going to watch me. I snuck up with the Christians and got down and prayed. And that's where I came to Christ, was in that, you know, I just snuck in with them and found me a pew spot, you know. And that's how I came to Christ. But we've missed some of that praying at the end. And I'm not telling you to do that, get you to manipulate. Never manipulate. But I want you to think about it. When do you spend that time with the intimate time with the Lord alone and also with the corporate body? Because you know what? That's where I learned to pray, was with the corporate body. I got up there and I could hear other people around me praying. I was like, okay, that's how you do it. I didn't know that. But if you wanted to just spend some time in prayer, or you need prayer, just come up and kneel and let the Holy Spirit say, yeah, I'll talk to you right now. If not, and you need to go, that's fine too. Or if you want a fellowship, that's good too. Fellowship is good. But get closer and know that we're in a war, but we win. Not because of who we are, because of who he is.
Amen.
And what he's given us. Thank you for letting us come today. And we just can pray that the Lord will continue to bless you. So the altars are open. If they want to sing a little bit, or if you guys want to just fellowship, that's fine. But thank you again for letting us come.